Time now for the East-West Hot Stove as we hit 8:24. Eric DeHatchick and Al Morganti. Eric in L.A., Morganti out in Philly. And no disrespect, Eric, but we were sitting around. It's like, so what topic are we going to bring up today that's going to get Morganti all wound up? So we've got a short list. I'm wondering, is it, you know, maybe the New York Rangers, the signing of Brad Richards two off seasons ago. Now he's got eight minutes and 10 seconds in a must-win playoff game for the Rangers. Amnesty buyouts. Players can't go and play in New York. This would just be another name in the somewhat long line of free agent busts, potentially, for the New York Rangers. Why don't we start there, Morganti? Did you see it coming? What are you seeing in Brad Richards, and do you think they buy him out this summer?
I think they might, but let me tell you about the Rangers. How they ever won a Stanley Cup, Mark Messier must be the greatest athlete that God ever put on earth. You look at the situation there, and it is the biggest myth in all of sports that it's difficult to play there. You can watch 4 minutes away from that building, and nobody knew you played in the game. There's zero pressure on the New York Rangers. Zero within that city. There could be the 12th guy on the bench for the New York Yankees, and he would get a crowd around him four times as many as anybody about Lundqvist, and not because of the way he plays goal, because he's a page six guy with the great looks that he can play Sweet Child of Mine on a guitar on late night television. If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't even be in this thing. And this Tortorella, his whole reputation could... he's supposed to be a power play guy. That power play is the worst thing in the playoffs. That Ranger power play right now, you put an extra man on the ice, and I'll bet bigger money that they can't do anything effective. It's incredible to me when you look at what goes on with the Rangers. The money they spend, the scouting department they have, the market they're supposedly in, and they need the miracle child league Messier to win one thing in like 100 years.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's not bad, yeah. I figured it might be. I figured it might be, Eric.
Well, do you think everybody in Calgary is thinking to themselves, coming up second in the Brad Richards sweepstakes might not have been the worst, you know, decision that it ever happened there. So, I mean, to me, that was supposed to be the perfect fit, right? I mean, Richards won a cup with Tortorella in Tampa, and they were supposed to, you know, reunite it, and it feels so good, and that entire, you know, peaches and herb ethic, and it's not working. And I think the fact that, you know, that he's playing behind Derek Brassard, that Derek Brassard has really been their most effective forward in the playoffs, tells you everything you need to know about what's gone wrong with the Rangers. And for me, the question is, does Tortorella survive? I don't see how he can. I think that his act is completely worn thin there. I think that they need a new voice, a fresh beginning, and you know, they've been propped up for a long time by the fact that they've got an exceptional goaltender who kept them in it again last night. I mean, say what you will, I mean, they were going to win another game on home ice until the fourth last minute of play when they got kind of a fluky goal, because that one guy between the pipes has been fantastic.
Let me do it this way. I'll start with you, Eric. If you are Glenn Sather, if you're if you're the guys cutting the checks in New York, do you 7 years, $36 million left for Brad Richards? Do you buy him out?
No, I try to find other solutions before I do that, because it's yes, you do have the ability to do these amnesty buyouts, but I'm just wondering, there's going to be a bunch of these guys that are all in the same boat this summer, you know. 6 to 8 to 10 players, and sometimes a guy just needs to be in a new place, in a new situation, and the guy can still be effective. Now, I don't want to use this as an exact apples for apples comparison, but the series that I'm on, Los Angeles and San Jose, the Sharks are getting effective hockey from Scott Gomez. Not great hockey. It's not, you know, tearing it up like he did when he was a real good player in New Jersey and perennially led the league in points. But when they lost Torres to that suspension, they had to move Pavelski back to the second line. They moved Gomez into the third line center, and he has been a good player for them. Now, you know, he's been a good player at a price that they can afford, but he was a guy that was just never going to work in Montreal, because when you become a whipping boy, when you become the guy that you know galvanizes everything that's wrong about your franchise, you just have to go someplace else to play. And so he's here, and he's doing a decent job for them. So I think that Richards needs to be out of that situation and into a situation that works better for him. I mean, it worked in Tampa. It worked in Dallas. So, you know, find another team that has another guy that you want to buy out, and maybe you can swap problem for problem.
Morganti?
Well, I guess that's the answer to everything. You swap trash for trash is what it amounts to if you're looking to get rid of people. I just wonder, the general managers, when they look and they decide to give the scads the money, there's only one Crosby. And you look at what fourth liners do, and when you look at the guy who all of a sudden isn't the guy, and it's funny because they'll all talk about hockey such a different game and a team game, but I still don't think too many general managers get it on putting a team together without that big glitzy thing that you need with all the money. And the money does play a big part of it. There's pressure on it that comes with it. But I still think that if you had spent more money on your scouting staff, that if you spent more money on people that can look and see, this is going to be a grit guy. And the Rangers' problems started really badly when they lost some of those grit guys. I don't think there's enough people in front offices that really appreciate the greasy play that you need to get things done when you're looking for the quick answer. It's still a sport but fourth-line guys win so many games, and I still don't think they spend enough time putting that element together in a team.
Wasn't last night a perfect example? I mean, the Bruins win that game on two goals from
absolutely.
The fourth line. Yeah.
Elsewhere, we talk about talking a little bit about the San Jose Sharks. Just looking at some numbers here, the LA Kings, I couldn't believe it when I read this morning, they are 20-0 in the last two postseasons when they score two or more goals. I mean, two or more, and they're 20-0. All of their last five consecutive losses have been by scores of 2-1. In some ways, there's not a lot different between the Rangers and the LA Kings. They have some high-profile guys. They have some terrific goaltending. They just don't score very much. And the San Jose Sharks hold serve at home. I guess, Eric, I'll start with you on this one because you've been watching this one closely. Sharks, toe-to-toe with the defending champs.
Yeah, you know, and Todd McCollum the other night here in Los Angeles was saying, after they got down 2-0, I think this team is different. I think this is different from other editions of the San Jose Sharks. You know, and he didn't come right out and say, you know, that in the past our resilience was zero, and if we fell behind like this, we would just fold the tent, and that would be the end of it. And they did. They do look different. So I think it was one of those situations, especially since they'd only lost the two games all year at home. You know, you really wanted to see how they would respond in San Jose. I thought they responded well. I mean, to me, the one storyline here that everyone wants to harp is that it's Logan Couture's team now, and it's not Joe Thornton's team, and it's not Patrick Marleau's team. And I can only agree with that up to a point. I mean, Couture is a great player. He'll play on the Olympic team. I don't think the other two guys will. But if you watch the way Thornton is playing right now, you know, he might be the best player in the National Hockey League. I mean, you know, the stat that I find is amazing is, you know, Al's talking about how you win in the playoffs. I mean, Thornton has been on the ice for 17 goals for and one against in the playoffs. I mean, a lot of that has to do with the power play because their power play, unlike the Rangers or unlike LA's, has been terrific. And they've won games for themselves because of their ability to score those power play goals. But he is a guy that, you know, because of the way Couture has emerged and taken some of the pressure off of him, that he just goes out and plays right now. And, you know, Al made a reference to the fact that, you know, the money sometimes eats these guys up. I believe that that's true. I think the whole problem with Scott Gomez was, you know, Scott Gomez is not earning $50 million. And the problem with Brad Richards is Brad Richards is not earning $50 million. And I think that in the case of a guy like Thornton, you know, he's just stopped worrying about it. He has stopped worrying about it. A lot of times what happens with these guys when they get that big money in the beginning, they're trying to earn it on every shift. And you can tell they're pressing, they're not playing their games. And Thornton just looks like a guy who's doing what he wants to do, which is, you know, he's a big, easygoing guy who wants to play hockey. And I think, you know, the fact that he doesn't have a ton of pressure on him in these playoffs, because everyone's talking about Logan Couture, has been the best thing that's happened to him all year.
The Pittsburgh Penguins, Al, tonight take on the Ottawa Senators. And I know that in round one, it took them six games to get by the New York Islanders. The last game was an overtime win for the Penguins. One of the two Islander wins came in overtime. In this round, you know, the Penguins, they were up 2-1. They go back, they lose in double overtime. We're kind of being led to believe, or the feeling is that, you know, this is a close series and Pittsburgh isn't really showing all that well. Or are we expecting too much, that this is still a very much an elite team that's in a position to take a stranglehold tonight?
I still think they're the elite team, but Ottawa had a terrific year getting people back. Carlson looks like certainly he's playing better. The goaltending should get back up to snuff to where it is. You know, I read something today that Crosby doesn't, I guess he doesn't have a third period goal. I think that's what it was. They're waiting for that to happen. I just think there's too much with Pittsburgh. The goaltending's been solid. Letang and Crosby will be there, obviously, when you really need him. I can't see that Ottawa wins this thing, but I got to say, after watching through the entire season, the job that was done there, holding things together, when the team gets a sense, gets a sniff, and that's why it's so hard. Momentum is so minimal anymore in all of sports. You just come in and have that game. There's nothing safe except for the Rangers dying in this thing. Except for that, I don't think there's anything safe because we've seen so many teams, even 3-0 was so impossible before. So I don't want to say it's a deadlock, but with Crosby, you know, if Pierre Maguire would give him some room to breathe, he might score actually 7 goals a game.
What do you guys take? What's your take on the goal or the non-goal and the quick whistle last night? Is there a way to do it better, or is that just part of the makeup of the hockey game?
Start with you, Al. Go ahead, Al.
Well, I don't like much of replay. I mean, I think they've used it as much as they can. I just think you're going to make. There's going to be times when it happens. It's impossible to get everything out of it. So I never really have that big an issue with something that goes wrong, unless it's totally outrageous, like the home run call that they looked at and missed. So I really don't have that. I think the NHL, of all the sports, does the replay the best.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. I mean, that's been a fact of life for as long as I've been covering the sport. I mean, the rule is the referee blows the whistle when he loses sight of the puck, and he's on the ice. Sometimes the puck gets lost in a scramble there, and he can't see it, and that's what he has to do. I don't mind that rule. And, yeah, it occasionally comes up and bites you. But I'll give both Dustin Brown and Daryl Sutter credit. Neither of them was using it as an excuse for the loss last night.
So are we, what's left in this playoff round? Because we'll talk next week, and by then pretty much everything's going to be decided. It looks like Boston's going to get rid of the Rangers. We don't know what's going to happen with L.A. San Jose. Quick takes, I'll start with you, Eric. Chicago, Detroit. And I guess just a final thought on Ottawa-Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm fascinated by Chicago-Detroit because I did a couple of the games of that Detroit-Anaheim series, and they looked like a team at the end of it that was relying on their two main stars, Datsyuk and Zetterberg, and were kind of wheezing on, you know, fumes because they'd had to travel back and forth, and that's what they looked like in that first game. They looked terrible, and then they came back and won two. And I think there's a little bit of nervousness in Chicago because they really haven't played well now for, you know, they weren't great in the first round. They got by because Minnesota had some issues with their goaltending, and I think they had a little bit of stage fright from being in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And, you know, when Detroit raised the level of their game, Chicago hasn't been able to respond. So, you know, that's a great challenge for the Blackhawks right now. They've had this fabulous season. You know, it is not good enough right now. Let's see if they have another level.
And I'll be so disappointed if I don't get a Ginla against the Bruins. I've been looking forward to this since the trade deadline. I want so much for that black and gold series to happen, and I think it will. And I think that's going to be where we're going to be focusing on the weeks to come. We probably have 4 coaches that have already won it if things go where I think they're going to go. And I really think, especially where you are sitting there, that that's going to be just a terrific storyline. And I think we're headed toward that direction. And I know Gary Bettman probably broken his wrist doing handstands for the way this thing's worked out with all the markets that are involved. But that would be another huge attraction for the league.
Boys, appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next Wednesday. Have a fine week.
Okay, thank you.
Eric
DeHatchick, Al Morganti, the East-West Hot Stove.